Now, more Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
It's time for that Monday basketball talk. You know, we're down to the final 2 weeks of the regular season. That's it. Two more weeks to go, less than 10 games for every team right now in the NBA. We'll look at the play-in picture. We'll look at the playoff picture and a lot more to get into. Joining us right now, as he does each week, we have James Holis, our NBA analyst. James, great to get you back on. And again, less than 10 games to go in the regular season.
Watching the Celtics hold mighty New Orleans Pelicans to 11 points in a quarter makes me feel much better. I just can't wait. I'm holding my breath for these last 2 weeks, last, you know, 8 or 9 games. I just want the Celtics to be healthy.
Yeah, and I think you're going to be all right in that regard. I mean, you know, one thing I want to point out about the Celtics, and I can't stress just how difficult it really is to accomplish this in this day and age. Celtics are going to win 60 games this year. And, you know, again, looking at the roster, looking at the accomplishments, it's been a while since we had a team win 60 games. You have to go back to Phoenix, 2022, I think was the last time a team won 60 games. In this day and age of, you know, rest and load management and just the way the game is played, I think it's difficult to win 60 games, James, and your Celtics are going to pull that off, and they're going to pull it off with relative ease. They are 32-3 right now at home. Again, that's something else that I don't think you can overlook. I've been saying this all year long. They're the cream of the crop in the NBA. I think you've been cautiously optimistic. But when I throw those two facts at you, okay, the Celtics will win 60 games. They're 32-3 at home. It's got to make you smile.
Yeah, I'm more than cautiously optimistic now. The run the Boston's been on for the last 3 or 4 months has kind of put me at ease. But, again, man, like the ghost of playoffs past keeps popping its head up. And, yeah, it makes me smile. But as we know, regular season and playoffs are two different animals. So Boston is well-equipped. Boston has all the weapons and tools it needs. Let's see if they have the mental fortitude to make it happen.
One team that you may have to at least be somewhat concerned about in the Eastern Conference, it is the Cleveland Cavaliers, and this is a team that's going to be rolling into town tomorrow. The Jazz will play host Donovan Mitchell and the Cavs. We've seen Donovan now over the last couple of games going about 30 minutes. Definitely not the Donovan of old. I mean, he scored 13 points, 12 points. They're trying to ease him back in. Did not shoot the ball well in a win over Philly. Did not shoot the ball necessarily well against Denver, which was a blowout loss. When you look at Cleveland getting Mitchell back at this stage, giving him 10 games to get his feet back up underneath him, Cleveland a legit contender in your mind in the East?
Oh, no, man. It's not, no. After what they showed in the playoffs last year, we can chalk it up to whatever. Dude, they lost by almost 40 to the Heat, whose offense has been absolutely dog water. They lost to Charlotte the other day. They lost by 20-something to Denver. Their variance level is just so big. I know they need to get healthy, get to the playoffs. But someone said it the other day, I think it was Bomani Jones, where they said if Cleveland have bigs, they have talls. And I saw the other night when they lost to Denver by almost 20. I think their starting backcourt of Evan Mobley and Jared Allen had like 8 rebounds total, and like Joker had like 16 rebounds or some nonsense like that. Like, come on, man. It's, you know, we saw in the playoffs last year and we've seen iterations this year. They get pushed around too easy. You get physical with them, you punch them in the mouth a little bit, they seem like they don't know what to do. So this will be really interesting to see. They're a very talented team. When they play well, they play well. But for a team with all that size and, you know, that small backcourt is going to do them in, I think. Just having such a small backcourt is going to be the end of them.
I like that wording. They have talls, they don't have bigs. And I know here in the state of Utah, everyone is always going to be interested in what's happening in Minnesota, what's happening in Cleveland. Like I said, Donovan Mitchell is going to be on the court tomorrow when Cleveland comes in to take on the Jazz. But these are two teams in Minnesota and Cleveland that gave up a whole lot of pieces last year to get the cornerstones from the Utah Jazz. When you look at the Minnesota Timberwolves, completely different scenario, right? I mean, they already had an Anthony Edwards in place. They've done a great job in building a backcourt, right? Bringing in Mike Conley. I know you and I talked about that at the beginning of the year. That was a move we both were high on, matching Rudy Gobert with Karl Anthony Towns. It's worked in Minnesota. The deal for Donovan Mitchell in Cleveland, I do believe it's safe to say it hasn't worked. I mean, we'll see what happens this postseason, but I agree with you. I agree with everything you've just said. I don't know that the roster construction is built for a postseason run. In fact, I don't believe it is.
Yeah, man, you know what? We've seen it time and time again. Big, switchable wings are where it's at in the NBA. Aaron Gordon was so important because he could play power forward, but he could also guard, you know, smalls. Wiggins, he helped the Warriors win a couple years ago because he played, you know, they put him at small ball four. He would guard up, and he would also be able to guard, like, fast, twitchy Jason Tatum. He made Jason Tatum's life hell. They just don't have that in Cleveland, right? Caris LeVert is a fine scorer at the wing, but he's not a defender. They don't have anybody to guard other teams' wings. And, like, they have a couple small guards, and then they have these two long big men, and that's, you know, Niang, nice player, you know, but he's another, basically he's a power forward in today's NBA, an undersized power forward. He's not guarding anybody, so they just don't have the defensive versatility. And that's what it's all about, you know, having multiple guys who can guard multiple positions, and they don't have that.
I want to jump over to the Western Conference. We'll talk about the play-in round for a moment. Last week when we had you on, we were going over the Orlando Magic-Golden State game. The Warriors got a stellar performance from Steph Curry. That was after Draymond Green was tossed 4 minutes into the game. It was a huge win for the Warriors. Since that point, they beat the Hornets. They beat the Spurs. And right now, they hold a miniature lead over the Houston Rockets. And I think if you look at the play-in round, it's really going to be determined, in my mind, over these next three games for Golden State. What can they do over these next three? Because two out of the three are on the road. They get the Mavericks twice and the Rockets once. This is as crucial of a stretch as it can possibly be for this Golden State team. I think they hang on, James. I think they make into the play-in round. I'm curious as to your thoughts.
It's funny because we've seen this team be Jekyll and Hyde at different points of the season. They had a nice little run where they won like five or six in a row earlier this year, and then they kind of had some really bad poop-to-bed losses, and they kind of fell off the cliff again. So, you know, we know as Draymond and Steph go, they go. Draymond was great yesterday, and they still barely beat the San Antonio Spurs, who are one of the worst teams in the league. So their margin for error is so slim that I think you nailed it. These next three games are going to be really important because they don't have any more wins to just blow, right? There's no more, we lost that team, and it's fine. There's no more it's fine, right? That's been out the window for them. So, I'm with you. This is a pivotal time for them. They got to stack every win they can.
Another pivotal time for the Los Angeles Lakers, who are playing good basketball, as of late, outside of a 20-point loss to the Indiana Pacers on the road. Seven games left for this Laker team, at Toronto, at Washington. They get Cleveland, Minnesota, and Golden State all at home, and then they close out with Memphis and at New Orleans. Right now, the Lakers a game and a half back of Phoenix and Sacramento. I think we can go ahead and rule out the Lakers climbing up to number six. It would definitely take some doing at this point for that to happen, as they are three games back, but climbing out of that 8-9 spot, or excuse me, that 9-10 spot, I think would be huge for any team. It gives you a little bit of a margin of error once you get into the play-in round. Do the Lakers pass the Suns or Kings? You think they pass them in these final seven games, being a game and a half back of the 7 spot?
Well, I think the Kings and the Suns are in their own driver's spot. They got to win games. Then we talk about Golden State. Phoenix has some bad losses. The Kings had some bad losses. Maybe not quite as many recently, but, you know, looking back, there's some that they must be kicking themselves that they lost. They got to just win. They not maybe win out, but the Lakers definitely have been playing better in the last, what are they now? I think they'll have to win.
They've won 7 out of 10. I think they've won 10 out of, like, 14 games, 13 games, something like that.
Which is pretty impressive. Like, I can begrudgingly tip my hat to that. They see me coming together. LeBron James went bonkers against the Nets the other day, which is not anything to brag about because it's the Nets. But I think career high in threes for him, 9 threes the other night. And I saw a funny stat where it said that this year he's shooting better from 3 than Steph Curry. Luminary kind of guys. It's insane. It's insane what he's doing at his age. So the big thing with them, we know Anthony Davis is their, you know, the younger player, and if he had that kind of mentality he had at the Pelicans, it would be different. I think just playing with a guy like LeBron James, subconsciously, everyone kind of defers to him. So that's where it's a catch-22. They want Anthony Davis to step up and be the man. LeBron James is still LeBron James. He's on the court, and he's still capable of doing great things. Guys are going to defer to him no matter what. But he's up to the challenge. It is what it is. They're playing much better now. And, yes, so I don't know. Who do you think has the best chance of getting in, the Lakers or the Warriors?
Well, I think the Lakers have a better chance of getting in because I think the Lakers will pass Phoenix, and I think that's just based off of the strength of schedule for both teams. I mean, you brought it up when you look at the Phoenix Suns. They've had some really bad losses. I mean, a loss to the San Antonio Spurs, that's a bad setback. They got blown out by the Thunder. If you look at what Phoenix has left, they got to go at New Orleans. They get Cleveland, Minnesota, New Orleans again, the Clippers twice, the Kings, and the Timberwolves. Every one of those teams are playing meaningful basketball down the stretch. And James, every one of those teams are in the playoffs. That is a very, very difficult stretch to close out the season. Yeah, I think the Suns might be in trouble. I'm thinking the Lakers will pass Phoenix. I think we get the Lakers and Kings, and then we get Phoenix and Golden State. And I don't know who I would necessarily favor in that matchup. I just look at what's left for Phoenix. That's a tough stretch.
That is a murderer's row. I'm looking at it right now, and holy moly. And all those, like you said, those teams are all fighting for their playoff lives, too. So it's not going to be, we're facing they're sitting there two starting stars to get them rest. No. These teams are all still jockeying for a position. It's going to be a dogfight. And then, like you said, other than just Cleveland, these are all teams that, in the West with them. Holy moly. I didn't realize it would be this tough for them. And even so, I think I heard another stat. The Suns with Durant, Booker, and Beal on the floor, they're still in like plus five. A good team, like you say, hey, we got these three stars, so be plus eight, plus nine, plus ten, and that's a net rating thing, right? It's how they perform on the court together versus off together. So yeah, the Suns, they're up against it. There's not a lot of options to restock the armory. Right, because they're up, I think the max tax bracket where they can't really make moves. It's going to be interesting to see. So this is kind of like if they don't make it at least to the second round, the conference finals this year with those three guys on the court, you got to say that this has been a hellacious disappointment of a season for the Suns.
That was going to be my next question. Can you think of a more disappointing season in recent memory for a team? I mean, really, when you look at three stars at this stage in their career, man, it's been tough. And, I know that when they get healthy, I think they have a puncher's chance once they get into the playoffs. You just look at the lineup of Nurkic and Durant, and Grayson Allen actually has had moments this season, and Bradley Beal and Devin Booker, your top man off the bench is Royce O'Neal. Rotations are going to tighten up a little bit. I get this, but still, it's a massive disappointment. James, I believe that Phoenix is going to be in a must-win situation being in the ninth spot. Nobody really, I don't think anyone could have predicted that, right? I think that it would have been easy at the beginning of the season to say there's not a lot of depth, there's some problems within the roster construction. This is a team that's anywhere from 4-6 in the West. I don't think anyone thought they'd be fighting to stay out of that 9-10 one-game elimination round.
Every pundit out there had Phoenix in the top tier of contenders just because on the basis of Kevin Durant and Devin Booker adding a guy like Beal. And injuries obviously have a big factor in it, right? Injuries and continuity where they just haven't had a lot of time to build on-court chemistry and reps together with those three guys. But it's just, this is where lack of depth will catch up to you, right? You get guys getting hurt because they have to stay on the court a little more than they probably. And they exert themselves a lot more because they don't have a lot of other guys making plays behind them. So I don't know what the way forward is for the Phoenix franchise. But, yes, for this year, Kevin Durant and Devin Booker need to strap on their hard hats and really get to work. But it's going to be on their back. I'm going to say this. Bradley Beal is not necessarily a winning basketball player. The stats look nice, and he can make, great footwork, all this good stuff. He has been in a winning situation forever, and I think all that losing in Washington might have kind of – this is who he is now, right? That's what I think, kind of. If he wants to be a complimentary player on a really good team, something has to change. I don't think he's ready to change right now.
One team that you mentioned at the beginning of the segment, I'm going to go back over to the Eastern Conference. Speaking of the play-in rounds, it's the Atlanta Hawks. I think you got to pay attention to what this team has done. They went 3-1 last week. DeJounte Murray named Eastern Conference Player of the Week, and rightfully so. He averaged about 30 per game, won about 6 rebounds, 10 assists, and it was a really tough stretch for Atlanta. They needed to pick up some wins, and they were able to pocket them. So here we are talking about the bottom, the play-in round of the Western Conference, and teams that could make it difficult on some of the upper echelon teams. Are you willing to buy into what's happening in Atlanta right now?
No, not really. I think we've seen this before where teams kind of perform really well without their superstar or their second-best player because, the NBA is really hard, and it's hard to scout and get a game plan for guys. And so they're definitely rediscovering something, where the floor is being raised, so they don't look absolutely helpless anymore. But what is the ceiling of a DeJounte Murray and Bogdanovich-led team? I don't think it's very high. They definitely are defending better without Trae Young on the floor. But sooner or later, you need somebody else who can just go out and get you 25 or 30. DeJounte took him, he scored, a season career-high 44 the other day, but took like 43 shots.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a volume. It was a volume 44, man.
There's no, and I'm not taking anything away from him, because guess what? As Kobe has said, people, it takes a lot to put up with that many shots.
Sure.
That takes work. It takes a lot of tenacity to see so many shots miss and keep shooting. Kudos to him. That's legit. But, yeah, a team where that's your best player, you know, unless he just catches absolute fire, kind of the way Miami Heat shooters did a couple years ago when they went from the eighth seed or the play-in all the way to the finals, right? It takes a certain serendipitous, everything coming together perfectly, you know? And so, yeah, I'm sure teams in the East their antennas up just a little bit, but not too much. It's still the Atlanta Hawks.
Well, in with this, we still have 2 weeks left in the season. However, for a number of teams, I'm trying to think off the top of my head, I think there's eight teams that have already been eliminated from play-in contention. Who was the worst team that you saw all year long?
The worst?
The worst. I mean, because if you look at it record-wise, it's the Detroit Pistons. You know, San Antonio only won 18 games. Washington won 14. But there's trajectory for all these teams, right? There's context behind the records. Who's the worst team with the lowest ceiling that you watch this year?
I mean, I hate to say it, man. I like Portland. I love Anthony Simons. I love some of their. I think Scoot has a chance still, as bad as his rookie season has been. But to lose by 60 to this version of the Miami Heat, that is pathetic. And I know they lost Dame, but they have, you know, guys in out the. DeAndre Ayton is a max player. Like, Anthony Simons is a near max player, and he got a big contract. For them, I get it. They're young still, and they're still a long way to go. But what's next? What's the move to improve them other than some seismic trades? And so Detroit's up there too, but I think that's a lot of just youth, plain youth. The Wizards are absolutely pathetic. So I wanted to start naming them, but losing my 60 to this version of the Heat, that might be it.
Yeah, I got to go with Washington, because when I watch this team play, you have Jordan Poole, you have Kuzma, you have Bagley. We're not talking about young spring chickens here, right? I can look into Portland, and I can at least give you there's some what-ifs, right, or maybes. There's some maybes there. When I watch the Washington Wizards play basketball, James, it would be awful to be a Washington Wizards fan right now. What do you look forward to?
Yeah, and even though I let that loss color me and I said Portland, you just named it, man. Jordan Poole, he tricked everybody, got his contract. Kuzma is definitely the definition of a buffoon in wolf's clothing, maybe, because he has all the trappings. He's 6'9", 6'10", he's athletic. He looks like a basketball player. He looks like one of those, oh, we got an apex predator kind of wing who can – no, Kuzma's kind of a joke. Everything they do over there is a joke. Other than Danny Avia, I think his name is.
Yeah, Avia, yep.
And he looks like he could be a rotation player on a good team. You know, maybe a high-level rotation player on a good team. Other than that, though, that team is pretty pathetic.
That's the worst team I've watched all year long. I don't know any Wizards fans, but if there's any listening, God bless you, because I don't think it gets better anytime soon. There's nothing here that you really have to work with, right? And this is after being on the opposite end of one of the worst trades in NBA history. Like, they won the deal to get rid of Russell Westbrook. They have nothing to show for it.
Absolutely nothing. Yeah, like, it's what's coming down the pipeline. Who's next? Who makes their fans give them hope? I think there's a... What's his name? Mikael, like, I think there's a backup guard they have, a young guy who is supposed to be super talented, but that's how bad it is. I can't remember his name.
Yeah, it's one of those rosters that if you look up to front to back, you really have to reach for a straw to find any sort of light at the end of the tunnel. I mean, it's it's awful.
Yeah, they're giving Marvin Bagley and Rashawn Holmes, Bilal Koulibaly. You know, and he's going to be a superstar? No. He's 19, though, and at least there's something there, but that's it. That's it. That's one little tiny speck of light in this morass of just thunderstorms. So, yeah, not a lot to be happy for if you're a Wizards fan.
He's James Holas. He's kind enough to join us each week. James, before I let you go, of course, let us know where we can find more of you.
Yeah, man. Just hopefully everybody's listening to this show, and I make sure I share this with all my friends and family on Facebook. But at Snotty Drippin on Twitter, and we have the Casual Die Hard podcast. I'm doing with my boy Jesse and the homegirl Ace. You know, that's just some fun we have every once a week. So we skipped this week because it was Easter. It was a holiday, so. But, yeah, just check us out, and I can't wait for the playoffs, man.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it as well, James. It's always a pleasure. Can't wait to do it again next week. Thank you.
You're the man, bro.
And with that, we are out of time on this edition of Drive Time Sports. Always fun to be along with you on the afternoon drive. We're going to be back to do it again tomorrow. We're about a month out of the NFL draft, so we're going to start talking about that. I'll be joined by Vinny Rondinelli. I know we'll catch up with Coach Taylor Brower of the Kerbin boys basketball team a little bit later on this week. So still a lot to get into. I will see you tomorrow. Till then, be safe. I am out.